Before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey, Mike Lawson here with CE Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of Filene's Amplifying Impact Conference. And in this particular clip, Filene's very own Taylor Nelms moderated a panel of credit unions and experts. But in this particular clip, he asked three credit unions about their DEI journey, their challenges, their successes, and whatever else happened within their DEI journey. Really interesting stuff here from Jenna Rosenberg from Visions Federal Credit Union, Emma Garcia from Desert Financial Credit Union, and Brenda Lynn Winchester from Lake Trust Credit Union. So check it out.
We heard from Mai and from Quinetta about the challenges that we face, as well as some of the solutions that are already at our fingertips, right? About the powerful links between the community inside the credit union and the communities outside the credit union. And ultimately, I think we are all kind of on the road to recognizing and acting upon the recognition that these communities are really the same. So I wanted to start with a question for the three of you, and I'll ask you kind of in order, Jenna, then Emma, then Brandilyn. Tell us about your organization's DEI and or community social impact journey. If you wouldn't mind, tell us a little bit about some of the challenges and successes that you faced, and give us an example maybe from your organization about the connection between those two initiatives. So Jenna, I'll start with you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Taylor. And thanks for referring to me as brilliant, even though I couldn't figure out how to get the Zoom background to change. So I'm the odd man out here looking at like I'm missing the background. But it's a pleasure to be here. And thanks for inviting me to be a part of this. To give an answer to your question, I'll start first with talking about kind of our DEI journey. So I'd say from the community social impact perspective, we're probably much more mature in our journey than we are the DEI perspective, but we're certainly putting thought and resources behind both. With DEI, we're really still in some of the foundational parts of our journey, and the way that we're approaching that is by listening and gathering data and putting together a really comprehensive strategy, going back to what was mentioned earlier about having a strategic plan, to make sure that our efforts are intentional and high impact and meeting the needs of our organization and our communities. We don't just want to be doing these random little things here and there. We want to make sure everything we're doing is all part of a comprehensive plan to get us where we want to be and need to be as an inclusive organization. And we've really been focusing on inclusivity. So we've done a lot of the initial things like going on a listening tour, listening to people's input, starting to put together different education and resources and making sure it all stitches into that roadmap. But similarly, we have a very intentional plan in place for our community social impact efforts. We do a ton through grant work, support, and volunteerism. And lately, we're really stressing that correlation between volunteerism and employee experience because we've recognized how important that is. And how that supports the overall experience of our employees. One of the challenges that I would say we face with community social impact is ensuring that, again, what we're doing, we're not just doing to check a box. You know, I think that was brought up earlier about making sure that it's not just like this token effort, that it's truly something that's going to be high impact because, of course, our stakeholders, our members are always watching, and we need to make sure that we are doing things that are in their best interest and that we're doing things that are in the best interest of our communities. We've had a lot of different successes, specifically in different cities throughout our footprint. The city of Rochester, we've strongly supported their Urban League, their Rochester Crime Stoppers, and we've seen a lot of really great impact from that. We've also started empowering managers in the different markets to kind of make decisions about what is going to have the highest impact in their market. So rather than us from headquarters saying, oh, this is what we should do in a city 3 hours away, we're trying to really go to the people that live in those communities and empower them to make sure that what we're doing brings about the best impact. So it's kind of a high level overview. If there's anything else you wanted me to focus in on, let me know.
Yeah, thanks, Jenna. What I love about that is the focus on empowering local leaders. I mean, I think that that really aligns well with Mai's point and with some of Quinetta's points about elevating your employees as a place to start when engaging, whether it's your building a culture of inclusion or, you know, doing the right kind of authentic outreach to build inclusion in the wider community. And it's also a really nice transition to the story around Desert Financial. So Emma, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about the work that Desert Financial has been up to.
Yes, good morning, everyone. It's such a great to hear Dr. Roberson and Dr. Nguyen and their perspectives, because I think it speaks to Desert Financial's experience. I actually joined the credit union. It's going to be 20 years now come January. And at that time, the credit union had just adopted a underserved charter. And so our board wanted to ensure that it was not just an opportunity to gain members, but that we were also looking at the community development needs of that particular geographic area. And so they hired a director of community development. And that really started this bigger initiative to really look at the needs of our community. And so at that time, our executives have always been very involved in community, and it was very much a charitable perspective as far as, you know, some of the things that credit unions traditionally have done, like supporting the local children's hospital, the United Way, serving on boards for other nonprofit organizations. We also very intentionally launched a volunteer program for our staff. That allowed them that firsthand experience to volunteer with a variety of different community issues, nonprofits. And I really feel like that was such a great way to begin kind of that engagement and dialogue and building of those partnerships. And, now our volunteer program, we have about 1,100 employees. Last year, we donated about 7,000 hours of volunteer service. And what I've seen over this time is that our focus in being involved in a charitable way has slowly transitioned because of the results that we're seeing, so that it's really become central to our mission. In the last 3 years or so, the organization's really taken a much more strategic look at it and identified, you know, when we help our community, when we help all of our stakeholders, we transition again our stakeholders from just exclusively looking at members and the service we provide them to include our team members, our members, and community. And so we're really looking at, you know, how are we engaging all of those different stakeholders? You know, what are we doing to improve their financial wellness? In 2017, we launched a 501c3 public charity foundation and completed our strategic plan early 2020. Wanted to really look at, you know, how can we make a bigger impact? How can we align the strategy of our community development work, the foundation work, with the goals of the credit union? So a lot of what Dr. Roberson spoke to as well, a lot of those practices of employee satisfaction, engagement with our staff, looking at business opportunity and innovation, a little bit of what Dr. Nguyen spoke to as well, really started to identify, you know, what are those programs and services that we could really hone in on, ensure that we're making impact and test and identify, you know, beyond just financial education, how are we improving financial outcomes for our community? And so I think it's been a great journey. Just most recently, we have a new Chief Human Resources Officer who really helped us with our strategic plan around DE&I. They're really working on kind of that more intentional practice, ensuring that, you know, we have that filter and lens as we do this work. At the same time, you know, we're expanding to new service areas as we transition from a federal charter to a state charter. We're being very intentional as we expand to these communities that we now plan to serve. Taking a step back, I love the concept of a strengths assessment versus a needs assessment, building those relationships and those partnerships, taking this relationship and community first approach, which, you know, we're seeing great results with. So that's a little bit of our journey, but just loved everyone's feedback on that. I thought it was so representative of our experience.
Yeah, thanks, Emma. And let me now turn to Brandolin from Lake Trust. And I think that there's a lot in common here, Brandolin, with what's going on at Lake Trust. And so we'd love to hear from you as well about your initiatives on the social impact front as one of the supporters for the Center for Community Social Impact. And I should say that Desert Financial and Visions are both supporters of the Center for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. So, you know, lots of learnings across the board here and sharings. But Brandolin, tell us a little bit about what's going on at Lake Trust.
Thank you, Taylor. Lake Trust, in terms of DEI, our journey has been fairly incidental from the beginning, that we always strive to have practices in place from an employee or team member perspective that reflected the concepts of advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion. However, while those practices existed, we didn't name them or we didn't call them out, and it wasn't really regarded highly as that these were to advance specific DEI-related outcomes in our organization, and we did not talk about DEI frequently at all in our organization. Our community social impact journey has also progressed, I would say, more rapidly over the last 10 years and very progressively within the last five. In the beginning, that we, similar to Desert Financial, we began to encourage our team members to get involved in the community, providing them with volunteer hours, asking them to support causes that really mattered to them. And then as we matured in the community space, we saw an opportunity to look at what are some areas that our communities are looking to have assistance with or have more opportunities to thrive in, and aligning those volunteer opportunities to helping in those specific areas and advancing things such as food scarcity and affordable housing. We also used to sponsor events that were more charitable focused as well, and recognize that aligning our sponsorship opportunities to really help generate more either economic opportunity or create opportunity for community members was really where we wanted to focus. We became a community development financial institution in 2016. And through that lens, we recognized an opportunity to help small businesses. And looking at the small businesses in the communities, we found that they were often able to get their business started in the beginning, but when it was time for them to grow, they were small, where in some cases other financial institutions or organizations weren't willing to assist them to get to that next level of growth. And so we saw an opportunity to really help those organizations progress and get to the next level that may not have a need for large commercial bank resources, for example. And so we created and structured a program specifically for those small business entrepreneurs to really help them advance their business and get the funding that they need to advance. And so through that, we see it as an opportunity for economic development for our communities, that we recognize that when we're able to help some of those entrepreneurs, not only are we helping to create more job opportunities in the community and help that individual business owner thrive, but it's also helping to make the place within the community even better for those who either want to relocate there or who are currently living there. Additionally, our board and our leadership team worked together to evolve the credit union's ends policies, or our purpose statements. And our initial purpose statements were probably very similar to when the credit union was founded, in the sense of helping members and their financial objectives and goals, helping them meet those. As our board and leadership team worked together, we saw an opportunity to really look beyond our members' support, of course, continuing to recognize that they're an important stakeholder group to us, but there's also a stakeholder group of the community that we can play a role in helping their experience and helping them advance, as well as contributing to the communities in which we're in. We are a full state chartered credit union. We have 83 counties within the state of Michigan, and they all vary in what is important to them and where the best opportunities for their growth and further advancement are. And so one of our challenges has been to really look at how do we hone in on those most meaningful areas of focus that are going to make the largest difference for those unique communities. And so as we continue to look for those, we have engaged with political individuals and legislators. We've also worked with other organizations, really demonstrating that cooperative spirit of how can we work together to solve some common goals and opportunities that we have. We've also worked with other non-governmental organizations to look at how might we work together. For example, with our local chamber in Downtown Development Authority, we created a program for small businesses that were looking to finally locate into a storefront. And going into the storefront the first couple of years is very challenging for a new business to thrive. And so helping them with a rental assistance program to really get up and going over those first couple of years so that they had more opportunity for success. That program only came about because of the cooperative nature of working with other business entities that also had a shared goal of helping those businesses thrive. So I would say our journey continues to progress, but we've recognized that partnership is key for us and that there's more that we have in common with other industries than we sometimes like to think, and that if we can work together that we can really impact real change.
Thanks so much, Brandilyn. So what fantastic stories already, three really great approaches from credit unions that are deeply engaged in this work.
Thank you very much, and stay tuned for more information or more coverage of Filene's Amplifying Impact conference here on CU Broadcast.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.